Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In the Bible, Jesus is presented as Savior and Lord. Today in the sermon, I'd like to present him as a coach, building a team to change lives of people. We hope that you'll continue to worship with us as we take a look at this often forgotten portion of God's holy word. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have taken time to sit with us and teach us what your will is according to your word. We thank you for that marvelous plan of salvation that focuses in Christ, and then to tell us after we have received you how we are to live. Guide us, bless us, forgive us, and now speak to us through your holy word. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. God's word as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into a street and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for this particular town. Dropping down to verse 16, we continue, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects you will also reject me. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ. One sports writer recently wrote that he believed the Los Angeles Lakers, who recently won the NBA championship, was one of the best teams, if not the best basketball team, that had ever played. They had some great players on that roster. There were people like Shaq O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Rick Fox, together with a lot of others. But they had a coach, and his name is Phil Jackson. He's the fellow who put that great basketball team together known as the Chicago Bulls. Now in L.A., he has the Lakers, and they win the championship games. It is not only to be a player, but it is to be put into a team where the team works together. Our Lord Jesus Christ in one sense of the word, was a fantastic coach. He was a person most often referred to in the Bible as our Savior and our Lord. And they, of course, are the primary titles for Jesus. But today, I'd like to move on from that and present him as a coach who was building a strong team to bring the message of the gospel to this world. Now, the team that we most often think of are the 12 disciples. He taught them, he gave them opportunities to put their teaching into practice, and then to move on out into a world to evangelize it for the cause of Jesus Christ. Today we have another incident, only recorded by St. Luke. Matthew, Mark, and John do not touch this account at all. But it's a story of sending out 72 people to tell the story of Jesus Christ. It was a part of their training. It is a text that is extremely important, for it reveals to us what the will of God is. But it is also a text that is one of the most overlooked and most interpreted portions of the New Testament that we have. So let's take a look at it. Jesus is building a team, and you could ask, well, who were these 72 team players? Obviously, they are people who had been instructed by Jesus. In other words, we could say they had a classroom experience. It might have been as they walked along the road with him. It could have been as they sat and meditated on some of the things that he had to say. It was certainly when they observed how this man could perform miracles, how he could feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, how he could heal the sick and even raise the dead. But now a part of the instruction was to go out and experience what it meant to talk with people about their relationship with God. It was not just to sit in a classroom and learn, but it was to take that learning and to put it into practice. Recently, my wife and I visited Alaska. When we got on the plane in Anchorage a few weeks ago, about to come back to Minneapolis, a non-stop 5-hour flight, I would have been just a little bit uneasy had the pilot come on board and said, "I tell you, people, I have had several years of classroom training, and now, for the first time, I am going to seek to pilot this big ship from Anchorage to Minneapolis. I've never flown a plane before, but I know theoretically all about it." I tell you, I'm sure that most of us would have jumped right out of that plane and would have said, "Practice on somebody else. I want a person who not only has head knowledge, but practical experience in piloting the plane where I am going to go." Well, this is what our Lord Jesus, as a coach, is about to do. He has taught them in the classroom, and now they are to go out. As they go out, they are to heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. They were to heal the sick. They were to tell the story that the kingdom of God was right before them. Now, this was an incomplete message because Jesus had not yet died for the sins of the world. They didn't know how the kingdom of God was coming. And was certainly incomplete in that Jesus had not been raised from the dead. And so from that standpoint, they could have looked at Jesus as a coach and no more. From their point of view, they could have looked at him as one who was there to teach them how to live a great life. They could also have looked at him as one who had some great thoughts about this marvelous kingdom that God was going to establish. But they had had no experience of Jesus as Savior and Lord, but simply as teacher and as coach. Now, when you go out, Jesus said, you're going to have various kinds of reaction. There are some people who are going to be very receptive to what you have to say. And when you rap on their door and tell them why you're there, some of them are going to say, "Come on in and stay with us." And when they invite you into their house, you remain right there. Don't run from one neighbor to the next and eat whatever is set before you. It'll be a joyful experience. On the other hand, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, and there will be others who will be very unkind. They will let you know from the very beginning that you're not welcome. This is interesting. He does not tell them to stand there and argue at the door. He simply says, move on. There are so many others who will want to hear this gospel. Don't waste your time with somebody who is so adamant that they don't even want to give you a hearing. Note, they were taught the gospel by Jesus, and that gospel they were to share with those who were anxious to hear it. Isn't that a very important message? Isn't that what the coach would want us to know? That we have been saved to serve. That there are such things as discipleship on our agenda as we tell the gospel of Christ around the world. Let's apply it today. Certainly it is true that the fields are white under harvest. I truly believe that there is a great hunger for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know in our day how great a hunger there is for the established church until the people first see what the church has to offer them, that is primarily the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that there are millions of people today who are wondering about eternity. Where are they going? What are they going to experience after they have breathed their last breath? And what a message it is to tell them that Jesus Christ has come into this world, that he has suffered and died on a cross and has been raised again, and that by grace through faith in him, they could experience the forgiveness of their sins, be restored into fellowship with God, and live with him forever. Now, that's what we have been taught in our churches. It was the message of the church. Now it should become the mission of the church. But that only can be done by those who have not only learned the message in a Sunday school classroom, a sanctuary, or wherever else it might be, but that message of being a missionary has to be shared by those who have had an opportunity to live in a relationship with God that was very intimate. In other words, they have walked with Christ. You can't say to an unbeliever, well, I learned this in Sunday school and it sounds pretty good to me, but you know, you kind of have to go this way yourself and try it out. I haven't tried it out yet. You're kind of like the pilot, you know, who says, well, I've never flown a plane yet, but I know an awful lot about it. Now, it had to be shared by someone who has walked with Christ, who has experienced his love and his grace, who knows what it is to be a forgiven sinner, who knows what it is to have the past cleansed. In other words, you could begin all over again every single morning. That's the kind of an individual who has to share this message with his world. As I mentioned to you, my wife and I were flying from Anchorage to Minneapolis. We had been on one of those famous and fabulous Alaskan cruises. We had seen the glaciers. We had been to the gold mines. We had spent a half a day around Mount McKinley, the highest peak in this part of the world. There were so many things. We had examined the culture of the native people who yet lived there in Alaska. In our group, there was a teacher. And one day, as we traveled down through Donnell, and we were seeing Mount McKinley and all the other beautiful parts of that great state of ours, I said, I'm sure that you're going to have a lot to tell your children in the fourth grade when you get back to school this fall. And she said, yes, I have a unit on this, and my life is being enriched, and I hope that it will be a blessing to the students. I'll be able to tell them what Mount McKinley looks like. I'll be able to explain to them what it is to pan for gold. I will show them the glaciers. I have all kinds of pictures of them. And she got real excited. You see, she had experienced Alaska. And now when she was about to tell the students, it would all be firsthand. So that's what is necessary. That's the coaching that we who have been taught by Jesus Christ from his word will now take that message and go out into our world and share it. I say to you that I wonder if this is often not neglected as far as the average Christian and congregation is concerned. Should there not be an ongoing evangelism training program that not only theorizes about this from the books in the classroom, but also gives the student an opportunity to try this, to share it with others, to show them how it is so wonderful and often so easy to tell other people about Jesus Christ. And yet it is so often overlooked. There are people who will say, this part of the gospel is not for me. I don't want to be a part of the team. I am anxious to share the gospel with those who are really close to me, but I mostly want to enjoy it myself. And that is the tragedy in the church, not only today, but in years gone by. So overlooked. But it is also sometimes misunderstood. For when those disciples, or those people who were sent out, the 72, returned, they were filled with joy and they said, Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. In other words, we got some extraordinary power. And Jesus turned to them and said, well, this is wonderful. I knew that you would be surprised, that you would see things happen before your eyes as men and women heard about Jesus Christ and their lives were turned around. But don't become too emotional about this. I've given you power even over snakes and scorpions and all the rest. But the thing that I want you to rejoice in is the fact that your names are written in the kingdom of heaven because you have trusted in me. And now because you trust in me, you share this gospel with others. Perhaps they didn't quite understand. You see, Jesus was using pictorial language to really tell a dynamic truth, that if Jesus Christ empowers you, there is absolutely nothing to fear, not even Satan and all of his angels. But he uses that word scorpion, and he uses the word snake. And perhaps they were reminded of that time when Paul experienced a snake jumping out of a bush and clinging onto him, and the people were afraid, and they thought, now Paul is going to die, and he just brushed it off in the fire. I remember when I was a young man, an evangelist came to our town, a free evangelist, and set up his tent, and along with him, he had some snakes. And during the course of the presentation, he had one of those snakes on his arm. And he says, see, he has no power over me. If it were put on your arm, you would certainly die, but he has no power over me, because I have the power of God. That is not what God is talking about at all. He is saying God has empowered you not to go on your own, but with his power to tell the story of Jesus Christ to the world. And you will see some marvelous things happening. God's power is greater than Satan's. And as you lead people into God's presence, you will see great changes in their lives. But do not let that power, which God has used through you to touch other people, make you proud. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. The church, my friend, has many tasks. Some of those tasks are to meet the needs of people who are hungry and without clothing and with no hope whatsoever. But the important thing is to remember that the primary purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ is that we live and work as a team to bring Christ to the nation. Amen. Lord Jesus, both as Christians and as congregations, help us to take this word seriously today, that the Lord is still seeking to train us to go out and share this message of salvation with those who have never heard. Where we have failed as individuals to do that, we ask for your forgiveness, but we pray for that strength, and we pray that people will be given courage even this week to tell the story of Christ to their world. May that be the focal mission of every congregation that bears the name of Christ. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has strengthened you in your walk with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Some of you are members of our GEM Club. GEM stands for Gift Every Month, and members send a gift each month. No matter the size of the gift, this faithful, regular giving provides Christian Crusaders with a steady income to pay monthly radio bills. We warmly thank each of our GEM donors. You are truly jewels in this important ministry. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. We now have a daily scripture verse and reading linked to a devotional. Spend a few quiet moments each day with God's Word at your computer. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.